Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the word of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness their eyes of blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off. Who by a word makes a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right. Therefore thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. And for when he sees his children, the work of the hands, in his midst they will sanctify my name, and they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Please read along with me the Catechetical Review, found in your bulletin. The Augsburg Confession, Article 1, God. Our churches teach with common consent that the decree of the Council of Nicaea on the unity and divine essence of three persons is true. It is to be believed without any doubt. God is one divine essence who is eternal, without a body, without parts, with infinite power, wisdom, and goodness. He is the maker and preserver of all things visible and invisible. 9:6. Yet there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. These three persons are the same essence and power. Our churches use the term persons as the fathers have used it. We use it to signify not part or quality in one another, but which subsides of itself. The epistle reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made the competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the minister of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because the glory that suppresses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. and his ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Mercy and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading where Jesus heals the man deaf and mute. And we read these verses again. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is our text. Dear Christian friends, you know, some people are just compelled to write. They just have this urge and they just have to write. As a pastor, I did a lot of writing. That's part of the job. But I was never compelled. I never had this burning desire. I retired in 2013, and I don't keep a journal or anything like that. I'm not compelled to write. Some people are. Well, in our text for today, we see the people there at this miracle of Jesus, and they are compelled to speak. They are compelled to talk about this miracle that has just happened in their midst. Jesus encourages them not to, directs them not to speak, yet the more he tells them that, the more zealously they proclaim. And there is a message for us too. We too want to speak about the miracles of Christ, especially the miracle of our salvation through faith in him. We are compelled to speak. Jesus has been engaged in his public ministry now for over 2 years. He's not too far from Jerusalem. He was, a few days earlier, up at Tyre and Sidon, which is northeast of the Sea of Galilee. And there he met the Syrophoenician woman who pleaded for him for the welfare of her daughter. And remember how Jesus refused her, saying that he was only meant for the lost children of Israel. Jesus says, "Do you want me to throw the crumbs to you?" And the woman replies, "Even the dogs lick the crumbs from the floor." And at that time, the daughter was healed. Now, a few days later, he has left that northeast area of the Sea of Galilee, and he's moved now to the south northwest part of the Sea of Galilee, and now he's moved to the southeast part of the Sea of Galilee. And they bring to him a man who has been deaf since birth, and being deaf, he cannot speak either, cannot speak clearly. Jesus has compassion on this man, and he spits and he touches the tongue of this man, and the man speaks. The people are amazed at this miracle. They begin to speak of what they have seen in their midst. Why does Jesus do these miracles? Well, we know one of his reasons is he wants to show his power and authority over all things. He wants to move the people to the realization that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. He wants people to see that he is God himself in human flesh, come to our world to save mankind. But he also heals because he has compassion for the people. He loves his people, and he wants what is best for them, both body and soul. We know that we are created body and soul, created special by God, and that God loves us, body and soul. He is concerned about our spiritual needs, but he is also concerned about his physical needs. We know that on the last day when Christ comes again in his glory, those who have died will be resurrected. Their bodies will rise from the dead, and they will be given glorious immortal bodies. Those who are left behind, their bodies will be changed. Immortal, glorious bodies. Jesus has compassion for his people, compassion for their spiritual well-being, compassion for their physical well-being. He is on his journey to Jerusalem. In a few weeks, Peter will make confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then there will be the transfiguration of Christ, and then he will go into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And there he will effect spiritual healing for all mankind. He will suffer and die for the sins of the world, and grant to all mankind forgiveness. And those who believe in him will receive this forgiveness and be given the gift of eternal life. But we see that he also cares for the body. He's not just concerned about our soul, but he is concerned about our body as well. And on the last day, we will be given new and dignified and glorious bodies. And we shall live, body and soul, forever with him in his eternal kingdom. God loves us, both now, our physical bodies, and he loves our eternal welfare as well. He comes with compassion for his people. And the people there seeing this miracle, they're compelled to proclaim, compelled to speak. Jesus tells them to be quiet. Why does he direct them so? Well, we don't know for sure. Concordia Self-Study Bible says that perhaps it was because the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are getting more aggressive in attacking him, wanting to put him to death, and he's trying to calm that a little bit. Dr. Scheer, one of my professors at seminary, said perhaps Jesus was using reverse psychology, telling them not to speak so that they would speak even more. Probably the first, knowing Dr. Scheer, the first explanation is probably the correct one. But Jesus directs them not to speak, but they have to speak of the hope that they had. They had to speak about Jesus, his power and his love to save. Now the people may not yet have recognized him as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter will make that confession in a few weeks. But they knew that this guy was something special, that he was at least sent by God. They were compelled to speak of his power and authority. And we need that healing which Jesus can bring, which he brought back then. We need that healing today as well, don't we? We see the sin in the world. We see these terrible atrocities that are going on. We are concerned about those people, our U.S. citizen in Afghanistan and the people that assisted us during the last 20 years. And we are fearful for them, are we not? How can people treat other people this way? And we take a look at our big cities. And every Monday we have a report on how many people were shot and how many people were killed. And it seems like there's always one or two children killed every weekend throughout our nation. How can people treat one another this way? We see sin in our world. Our world needs spiritual healing. Well, we need that healing as well, don't we? We look into our heart and we see the sins there. Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, all these things. We know that if we had to stand before a holy and just God on our own, we would be lost. We too need spiritual healing. But Jesus does bring that spiritual healing, doesn't he? He takes our sin to Calvary's cross. He is nailed to Calvary for us. He is nailed that we might be washed in his blood and stand forgiven before God. He comes with spiritual healing, the forgiveness of sins, and he gives us life and salvation. He gives that, while he earns that for all mankind, He gives it to those who were brought by the Holy Spirit to faith in him. The Holy Spirit has shown us Christ. We confess our sin and we cling to Christ, and we know we have this gift of healing through Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to us through the means of grace, the Word, baptism. He nurtures us through the Word, through the Lord's Supper, to keep us clinging to Him. He cares for us. He has won for us spiritual healing. But He also cares for us and wants our physical healing as well. He is concerned about our day-to-day life here on earth. The Lord's ways are not our ways. And we do not always understand the suffering and hardship that exist out there. Why are most of us pretty healthy most of the time? And why is it that some suffer from childhood until they are relieved from this life to eternal life? We just don't know God's ways. But He is working for our good. He cares for us physically. He cares for us spiritually. He grants us healing. We trust Him. We cling to Him, even as we don't always understand why things are what they are. We cling to Him. And then we proclaim and we speak of Him. Paul in Romans 10 said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The Holy Spirit works through that gospel message of forgiveness through Christ Jesus. And so we speak of that hope that we have in Christ. We come and we worship and we confess to one another this hope that we have. We bring our children to Sunday school and confirmation, and we witness to them of the hope we have in Christ Jesus. And when we have opportunity to speak to others, we speak to them of the hope that we have. We are ready to make a confession of our faith in Christ Jesus and His gift of healing, physical and spiritual healing. We let our light shine. Our neighbors see how we live, and they see that we live concerned for others, and they ask why. And when those questions come up, we can make confession, we can speak. We pray for wisdom and courage. We ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. I think we've all been in that position where we've spoken sometimes and probably thought later that it wasn't the best time to speak. So we pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us so that when the opportunity comes, we can speak of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And why do we want to speak of that hope? Because we know Christ is the only way for healing. Only through Christ can people have eternal life. And that faith comes through the speaking, the Holy Spirit working through the speaking of the gospel, the good news of salvation. A story is told of a husband and wife who were walking on the beach. Tide was going out, and there were these starfish on the beach. And the wife was picking up the starfish one at a time and returning them to the ocean. The husband said to her, "Look at all these hundreds of starfish. You can't save them all." And she said, "No, but I can save this one." So we speak. We point to Christ and know that in Him there is salvation. We see the need out there. There are many people in our own communities who do not believe in Christ Jesus. There is that need, and they will be lost forever unless the Holy Spirit gives them this gift of healing through faith in Christ. We have the Word. We have the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit strengthen us that we may proclaim the good deeds of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.